Hemos llegado a la segunda hora del programa, pero todavía tenemos mucho preparado para ustedes. En esta hora nos acompañará Brandy Farmer. Ella es la especialista de prevención de violencia doméstica, directora ejecutiva con el Centro Cívico Mexicano y la vicedirectora de la Junta Directiva en Comunidades Unidas. También ella recientemente recibió un reconocimiento por parte del Consulado de México en Salt Lake City. El premio Otley es el más alto reconocimiento otorgado por el gobierno de México. Estamos hablando con Brandy de su carrera, su trabajo para otorgar apoyo a víctimas de violencia doméstica, su trabajo para el bienestar social en la comunidad de Utah y de su reconocimiento que recibió. Brandy nos acompaña esta noche por teléfono desde su hogar en Salt Lake City. Brandy entiende muy bien el español. Tal vez hablemos un poco en Spanglish, así es que esto va a ser práctica para mi radioescucha, que tal vez están aprendiendo el inglés, a practicar ese entendimiento. Brandy, muchísimas gracias por estar en el programa esta noche.
Mucho gusto estar con ustedes y ojalá que me perdonen porque mi español no es muy bueno, pero entiendo muy bien. Es que cuando estaba chica los castigaban en la escuela por hablar en español.
Sí,
y casi toda mi vida he hablado en inglés y tengo como 5 años aprendiendo español.
Wow, y honestamente no es tan raro esa situación. Desafortunadamente, yo conozco a muchísimas familias de todos tipos de edades que han tenido esa misma limitación, el ser castigados de niños por hablar español. Hemos visto que en este país hasta se ha hablado de hacer hablar español en el trabajo, algo que se pudiera castigar a las personas. Como que es muy difícil mantener esta lengua si el país en donde estás no brinda el apoyo necesario para mantenerlo.
Sí.
Bueno.
Y quiero decirle que soy la presidenta del Centro Cívico Mexicano y la vice chair de la mesa directiva de Comunidades Unidas. No soy la directora.
Ah, perdón.
No, está bueno.
Haremos las correcciones de todo eso. Pero bueno, vamos a hablar un poco de tu carrera, porque siento que esto es algo bastante interesante, pero sumamente importante. Y siendo una mujer, no nada más mujer, pero también una mujer mexicana en este estado y haber crecido y vivido a través de todos estos años, has enfrentado muchos retos. Entonces, tu historia es una historia bastante interesante. Me gustaría que compartieras con nuestro radioescucha un poco de tus experiencias.
Sí, es que tengo como 35 años o más trabajando, ¿cómo se dice? Protegiendo las víctimas. Comencé con las víctimas de violencia doméstica y por todos los años hay muchas víctimas que necesitaban ayuda. Y por eso, porque yo soy una sobreviviente de muchas cosas que han pasado de mí, a mí. Y una es violencia doméstica y otra human trafficking, sexual assault, muchas cosas me han pasado. Y por eso tengo mi corazón ayudando a las víctimas.
Wow. Y siento que esto es un punto que es bastante importante recalcar. En la mayoría de los casos, personas quienes trabajan en este tipo de servicios sociales tienden a ser víctimas o tienen miembros de familia o seres queridos que han sido víctimas. Y no hay nada como el vivir algo así para poder entender lo difícil que es encontrar apoyo, especialmente hace 35 años.
Sí, es que puedes, ¿cómo se dice? Um, teach, ¿cómo se dice? Teach en español.
Enseñar.
Enseñar a los profesionales más bueno cuando puedes darle una historia que es muy personal, porque now I'm going to turn to English. I teach from the inside out because of my experiences and also because of the experiences of the victims that I've helped. But I also was the director of the domestic violence prevention programs for the Attorney General's office for about 12 years. And so I had the opportunity to have over 2,000 volunteers all over the state, and we were able to educate 500,000 of Utahns about the dynamics, the resources, and the legal remedies for domestic violence. And so I've also worked I began actually my work, mi trabajo empezó being up at the legislature trying to get bills passed. And so one of the largest things that I got accomplished was in 1994, when Senator Orrin Hatch and at the time Senator Joe Biden were trying to pass the Violence Against Women Act in Congress, I collected a lot of the stories from victims for that bill. And 6 years later, I was personally responsible for getting dating violence added to the first reauthorization of Violence Against Women's Act in Congress. So, and I've written hundreds of curriculums educating faith leaders, law enforcement, professional people, private citizens, and like I said, a journalist. If there was a need, I created the curriculum, and we got set and we went out and educated people.
Wow. ¿Cuál dirías tú ha sido el mayor reto en traer el entendimiento a las personas que están haciendo legislación?
Okay. Now that one I didn't understand. What's the best?
What has been the biggest challenge in helping people who write legislature understand these issues?
Well, for one thing, so we had a couple. We've had a lot of changes in domestic violence laws, but the toughest bills that I worked on, one was to get the stalking protective order passed, and it took us 5 years to get that passed because it was being fought up there. By a group called the Eagle Forum. And so the other thing, because they kept saying, well, you can't prove it if someone's stalking you. And so, even though we testified for 5 years, we finally got it passed. But the one that took the longest was to get the Dating Violence Protective Order passed. That took us 12 years to finally get that passed. And one of the reasons for that is because they didn't want people to, they didn't want anyone to take away, the perpetrator's guns. And so we took that out of the bill and it finally passed. But the dangerous part is that I also used to write the domestic violence related death report. I wrote that for about 14 years. And most of the domestic violence deaths were caused by gunfire. So, there were different ways that they were killed. One was gunfire, one was fire, strangulation. Okay, and now I'm forgetting some of them, but there's about five different ways, you know, that people kill, and the most dangerous one is when an offender is willing to kill himself, and that's when they're ready to take other people with them. So, but anyway, that was the hardest one, and that was the dating violence one, but we finally got it passed.
Siento que es muy, es increíble para mí el pensar lo difícil que es pasar leyes para proteger la vida de las personas, simplemente porque se les quitaría el derecho a tener armas de fuego. Sabemos que personas quienes tienen acceso a armas de fuego no necesariamente van a cometer violencia, pero sabemos que personas que son violentas, si tienen acceso a armas de fuego, es más probable que las lleguen a usar.
Sí, porque están cerca. Si tienen las armas, están cerca y en un momento con mucha pasión, puede ser muy fácil.
Hablemos un poco acerca de tu trabajo con el Centro Cívico Mexicano, porque esto se ha convertido no nada más en un poco de apoyo a la comunidad mexicana, sino siento que se ha convertido en una manera de brindar apoyo a la comunidad entera.
Sí, es que el Centro Cívico Mexicano es la organización más, ¿cómo se dice? Vieja. Oldest de todos porque it was established in the 1930s and for the reason is to talk about, you know, the rights of the people, and also because you know, para los mexicanos, to stand up for their rights, and also to have a place for them to gather to celebrate their culture, their dances, their art. And so, and I joined about 10 years ago. I joined the board at the time. There was a dream to tear down the old building porque está muy viejito y se está cayendo. And, but there was a dream from the board members before me to tear down the building and build a new one, starting with an apartment building for seniors. And so that has already come to pass. We just opened it, Casa Milagros. We have 61 apartments for active seniors, and it's for affordable housing.
Wow, y siento que hablando de temas de interés social, a veces es muy fácil poner a las personas que son de mayor edad en el margen, ¿verdad? Porque no están presentes en la vida cotidiana. Es mucho más fácil pensar de una madre con un niño que necesita apoyo, pero es muy fácil olvidarse de que hay personas muy vulnerables y son personas con de edad mayor.
Sí. Es que la sociedad piensa con las familias, pero es que se olvidan a los abuelitos y abuelitas y que tienen una necesidad, porque cuando se retiran del trabajo, no tienen tanto dinero para pagar, y es muy importante tener un espacio que pueden pagar y vivir a gusto. Es el edificio y los apartamentos están muy lindos y los I guess the views from the apartments are just beautiful. You know, you can see the mountains all the way around the city.
Wow. Y siento también
and also the other thing that's great about where we're located is the intermodal where we have tracks We have the bus system. We have Amtrak and Greyhound. So you can travel. You know, it's easy to get around, and the track is free to get downtown from Centro Cívico Mexicano.
Wow, y siento que un punto bastante importante es que, como mencionas tú, las personas que se han jubilado tienen pocos ingresos y el costo de vida sigue creciendo, sigue incrementando, lo que hace que una persona con un sueldo fijo, como una persona jubilada, se encuentre más vulnerable, especialmente en lugares de vivienda, porque sabemos que los costos de vivienda en este estado han subido muchísimo, particularmente después de la caída del 2018, y no han bajado como deberían haber bajado después de la inflación.
No, es sí, es muy muy caro vivir, y yo he hablado con una de las gentes que viven ahí, le gusta mucho, dice, ay, me gusta mucho vivir aquí. Y es ese me da mucho orgullo, pero es que no I teamed up with the former Salt Lake County Mayor Peter Caroon about, let's see, it's been about 7 years ago, and we partnered together to raise the money so that we could build the building. And so, you know, that's been a major accomplishment for Centro Cívico Mexicano, because we have so much competition. Years ago, Centro Cívico was the place where you celebrated Cinco de Mayo, 16 de Septiembre, and all the different Mexican celebrations, but they're happening all over the state and all over town, and even the Peruvians are doing Cinco de Mayo. And so I didn't even know. I thought at first when I heard about that, I thought, do they have Cinco de Mayo? But it's just that, you know, it's another way for people to make money. And so, and it's just, but it's hard for us to, so we have to come up with new ideas in celebrating our holidays, the Mexican holidays. And one of them is to have something that I created was the Zaragoza, the Ignacio Zaragoza Awards banquet for Cinco de Mayo. Didn't have a festival because all the festivals were happening all over town. Then I had an idea to do an award to give the people that helped the Hispanic community. And so that has been, we didn't have one this year, but that's been something and that I love to do, and that is to recognize people for their hard work to help the Hispanics.
Quisiera hablar un poco acerca de la importancia de difundir información, el tener acceso no nada más a la información de apoyo, pero también saber cómo llegar a ellos. Porque hablando, por ejemplo, de personas que son más vulnerables, ¿verdad? Estamos hablando de personas que son víctimas de violencia doméstica, que tenemos la idea de que son solamente mujeres, pero en realidad la realidad es que aunque las mujeres son las personas más comunes que son víctimas, niños, hombres, personas de edad mayor también pueden ser víctimas de violencia doméstica.
Sí, es verdad. Es que tengo, you know, como digo, que tengo como 35 años trabajando con víctimas, y una sorpresa que me dio muchos años pasado, y es que había hombres que son también víctimas de violencia doméstica, pero los dynamics son lo mismo, y I Ay, es que tengo mucha experiencia trabajando con víctimas y yo reconocí que sí eran víctimas también.
Y es interesante saber que,
Y
por ejemplo, para un hombre a veces no hay servicios o al menos no se les reconoce y el mismo tabú que existe como que les hace a los hombres sentirse que no pueden buscar apoyo.
sí, pero como quiera, con educación, y es muy importante con la educación para decirle que, a todos, que es que nomás tenemos un shelter, nomás un shelter en el estado de Utah que pueden ir los hombres, y es el South Valley Services. Pero como quiera, si necesitan un lugar de estar, los podemos poner en un hotel o ayudando, pero es muy importante que cuando alguien está experiencing trauma, que necesitamos ayudarlos.
Vamos a continuar nuestra plática con Brandy Farmer. Ella es especialista en prevención de violencia doméstica y presidente de la Junta Directiva para Comunidades Unidas. Ella nos está acompañando por teléfono esta noche y hemos estado hablando un poco acerca de su carrera, su experiencia y su trabajo en prevención de violencia doméstica. Una cosa que también he notado es el apoyo para personas minorías, particularmente habla hispanas, ha incrementado en los últimos años. Y siento que esto es a causa, resultó por la cantidad de personas latinohablantes, los hispanohablantes, que han llegado a este estado en los últimos 15, 10 a 15 años. ¿O me equivoco?
Sí, de ser víctimas es grande en todas las comunidades. Y cómo no, a ver, tengo que otra vez también en inglés. It affects. Like, if we have more white communities, we have more white domestic violence. The second is Hispanic. It falls, the second community that we have that's highest is Hispanics, and then we have Pacific Islanders, and then it falls down to like the Asian and other communities. So it matches, in other words, the demographics of the state of Utah. But we do have my most recent work is to work with victims in the Hispanic community. I work with another friend of mine. Her name is Gloria Arellano, and she and I go to court with victims. We accompany them to make sure that they're safe and that we're there to support them, and try to get them into the different resources that, like if they need shelter or they need an advocate or they need different resources, we try to get that for them. And it's not always available because we have so much of it. And so the resources are full. So a lot of times the victims end up going back. And one of the things that I always say to them is that please understand, I want you to know that I understand if you go back, but don't forget to call me. Because I understand, especially since I've been there before, because I left 8 times when I was a victim of domestic violence. And when I finally left, but we're there to support you, and if you decide to go back, We understand, but please reach out to us when you decide to leave again. And so, but one of the things that I've always wanted to do, and that is to create an art program, an art therapy program for victims. It started out with victims of domestic violence, and then it's expanded into different survivors of different catastrophes. But we've had men and women in our program. And the great thing is that, you know, like the first class that we had, and the survivors were crying and they said, I don't know how to do art. I don't know how to do this. But we had a couple of wonderful teachers. And we started even just with stick figures. And now they love it so much that they've expanded and gone on their own. Some of them have gone on their own because it's not just about putting art on a canvas. If they want to write stories or poetry, create a dance, create a play, whatever their desire is, or we even offer, you know, film classes. So to help them out if that's what they want to do. So that's one of the things that it helps them to heal, because they can start by putting down their pains, and then they begin to evolve. In other words, they begin to talk about what they're happy about. And that's, you know, it's been wonderful to see, you know, what's happened in those classes. But we also, the other thing that we do is that anyone who wants to have their work exhibited, we do exhibits around the town. And so their works, so they are artists. And they're recognized as artists, and you know, that also helps to create, to raise their self-esteem, and to feel valuable. And I see a lot of times they send me some of their work that they do on Facebook, and I just love it. It's just all so beautiful, and you know, it just makes me happy that they're happy.
Sabemos que el arte es una de las maneras más eficaces para ayudar a personas a empezar a sanar, ¿verdad? Especialmente en traumas, encontrar una manera de abrirse nuevamente. Y me gusta mucho esa idea de incorporar el arte de manera terapéutica. Pero como tú mencionas, hay mucha competencia, se puede decir. Y tal vez la solución es no en competir, pero en colaborar. ¿Con cuáles organizaciones has podido colaborar a través de tu carrera?
Well, with one is the Human Trafficking Coalition. I just joined that about 4 months ago. It's a new coalition, but I also was the chair of the Utah Domestic Violence Coalition and the Salt Lake Domestic Violence Coalition. And then there's one that's called COLABI, which is one especially for Spanish speakers, Spanish speaking. And so, but, you know, some of the things that we do, and that is, you know, to work together to educate, to continue to educate ourselves. And because you're learning, you know, you learn every day. I feel like, you know, every day I'm a student. And so, and it's also great to have allies, because sometimes things get really, you know, they get, you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm not making very much progress, especially, you know, when we go up to the legislature and we have to fight so hard to get bills passed. And one of the things that when things get difficult or they get extremely sad because someone gets killed or someone that I'm trying to help it gets killed and you feel like quitting, the thing that keeps me motivated is I always remember who I am trying to help. And that's the thing that keeps me motivated. And so, you know, because that's a lesson I always tell people. I say, when you're having a hard time and you think that if you want to quit, quit. It's okay. It's okay for you to do that. But don't let anyone stop you from your work, because especially when, you know, you're not liked, because I'm not always liked. Not everyone likes me. And the reason is because I'm obsessive about continuing to do the work. And sometimes I know that when I walk into a room, they think, oh, no, there she comes again. But the thing that keeps me going is that I remember who it is that I'm trying to help.
Y siento que eso es particularmente una de las partes más importantes, pero también más difíciles, porque sabemos que el trabajo que estás haciendo es sumamente importante, pero también sabemos que es sumamente difícil. Entonces, son muy pocas en realidad las personas que tienen el tipo de personalidad y la fortaleza emocional para poder hacer esto por tanto tiempo. Tú has dedicado a esta carrera por más de 35 años y en realidad has vivido todo esto a... toda tu vida, ¿verdad? Y no cualquier persona va a tener la fuerza emocional para aguantar eso. Y me gusta mucho que hayas mencionado que si te das cuenta que no puedes hacerlo más, deja de hacerlo. Siento que una de las cosas que muchas personas deben entender, que si estás en una situación de brindar apoyo a otra persona y no lo haces por miedo de tener un compromiso por el resto de tu vida, no es así. Hazlo por el tiempo que puedas y puedes dejar de hacerlo y dejar que otras personas también brinden ese apoyo. No tienes que hacer un compromiso de por vida.
Sí, y la otra cosa es que porque tengo muchos años de la experiencia de haciendo el trabajo, es que yo apoyo a todos que quieren ayudar y tengo mucha experiencia, es que también lo que quiero hacer es entrenar otras personas, las cosas que yo he aprendido y a veces que tengo clases para que aprendan las cosas que yo he hecho. Es muy importante. La otra cosa es muy importante también, es que take care of yourself. I have years, you know, there's been times when, especially when I was writing the domestic violence related death report, and I had to read the stories of what had happened in an incident, and I would read anywhere from one story to 50 about the same incident, and I'd make myself read all of them, and then I would close the book and I would go and take care of myself. Very important to take care of yourself, to be good to yourself, you know, to, you know, like go and, you know, be with your family, watch comedy, experience, you know, the beautiful, you know, the mountains or your animals. I have a cat that, you know, that is very loving. And so it's so important to take care of yourself, because if you don't, you're going to burn out quickly.
Una cosa que siempre he mencionado, especialmente cuando estamos hablando de cuidado mental, que es muy importante el cuidarse uno mismo, porque si no te cuidas a ti mismo, no vas a estar en la condición para poder brindarle apoyo o ayuda a otra persona. Y siento que eso es un punto bastante importante y me gusta recalcarlo siempre. Gracias por decir eso. Nos quedan como 15 minutos y quiero hablar un poco más plenamente y más abiertamente acerca del premio Otley que recibiste hace poco tiempo. Y este premio es el mayor reconocimiento otorgado por el gobierno de México. Y siento que esto es, como quien dice, una pequeña manera de hablar de la importancia del trabajo que haces. Pero ¿sientes tú que los gobiernos, particularmente el gobierno de México o organizaciones ya establecidas, están brindando suficiente apoyo a este tipo de causa?
I didn't understand that. Do I feel?
The question I was asking is, you recently re received the Otley Award, and it's a very important award. But do you feel that, organizations, established organizations, are bringing enough attention or bringing enough support to this cause that you were recognized for?
Yes, and one of especially the consulate of Mexico here, since the consul general Jose Borjon has been here, one of the things that his office has done, and that is to support victims of crime, and so when he came, part of our bylaws for Centro Cívico Mexicano is to work with the Mexican consulate. And so he has been an incredible, supporter of Centro Cívico Mexicano and all the people, because he's visited, he works with all the leaders in the state and the cities and the county. And we got to talk about some of the things that I've done. And so he's the one who nominated me. And I'm just, so humbled. It's so emotional for me to get such an important award that is given by the government of Mexico, especially porque yo soy mexicana. Nacida aquí, mi mamá ya nació en Coahuila, pero I'm so proud and humbled to receive such an important award. It's one of the greatest awards that Mexican government gives to people who live outside of Mexico. And I just feel like, what? Me? Get this such important award. And I'm just, it's just been incredible. And my feeling also, I just feel like, there's so many other people that deserve it. But I accept it proudly and will live up to it. And it represents the Otley Award represents someone who opens a path for other people. And that's been one of my missions. My mission statement has always been to live a happy and peaceful and successful life with my family and friends, and to save lives by creating a path to give them a better life. And it's something, that I live by. And I'm just, it's like, I'm just so lucky. I'm so lucky. And it's been hard because I know, that the consul had told me that he had nominated me for it. And then he had told me that, we tried several times in different times to, you know, for him to, for me to receive the award. But because of COVID, it's been really hard to do. And so anyway, so we finally were able to get it done because it's an award that's given annually. And so it had to be given before the year 2020 ended. But I'm still just, you know, like with disbelief.
Bueno, y honestamente, siento que el premio es muy bien merecido. El tipo de trabajo que has hecho, pues, no se puede subestimar. Es simple y sencillamente tan importante que se haya dado, que bueno, que estás haciendo el trabajo, pero también que se te dé el reconocimiento por estar haciendo este trabajo. Una de las cosas que quisiera hablar brevemente, y nada más nos quedan como 9 minutos, 8 minutos, ¿cuál dirías tú es la mejor manera de brindar apoyo a organizaciones y a esfuerzos como el tuyo? ¿Qué es lo que puede hacer el público para brindar apoyo?
Well, for one, to support us financially, so that we can continue our programs, because we don't only just have the arts program, we have our sports programs, and we have other programs. We want to start a sewing class, and there's, you know, different things that we've had. You know, we've had English as a second language. But to continue to remember Centro Cívico Mexicano, not to forget us, because we're trying to create something that's, you know, that the Hispanic community will be proud to give to the community. In other words, con la Casa Milagro, that we just built. It's something that the Hispanics can be proud to contribute to Utah and to the city of Salt Lake. And so, but to, you know, continue to support us, to come when we begin to have our programs again, we have when we start to have our festivals again and our different events, we want you to come and join us, come and don't forget Centro Cívico Mexicano, porque, you know, es viejito, pero aquí estamos first to support. And one of the things that we always do is that if we have it's a safe place for people, you know, when we're doing education on immigration reform, it's a safe place for people to come and talk, and so that we can educate them about what their rights are. So we just want them to not forget Centro Cívico Mexicano, to keep us in their mind, and to come and join.
Y bueno, brevemente quisiera preguntarte, estamos viviendo en la pandemia, sabemos que muchas personas han sido víctimas y se ha crecido el problema durante este tiempo porque muchas personas se encuentran atrapadas. ¿Has visto un incremento mayor en casos debido a la pandemia?
Sí, mucho, porque yo también trabajo con el Departamento de Salud. Y cuando empezó la pandemia, había muchos, muchos, muchos hispanos. It was, you know, like when COVID first hit, because a lot of the cases, or many of the cases, came to me. And that's one of the things that I was just so concerned about, and that is that that our Hispanic community was hit so hard, And one of the things, you know, that I want to tell people is that, you know, be careful, wear a mask, please, you know, social distance, and don't take it for granted, because it has killed a lot of, you know, it's a very dangerous virus. And don't take it for granted. It's a very serious one. Please be careful, and take it seriously. It's just, it's hurt a lot of our Hispanic community. I work, you know, I answer the phones, and I do a lot of entering data on my computer, and I talk with my bad Spanish, try to communicate with them, you know, because I want them to be able to go back, you know, to get their results so that they can go back to, so that they can get paid to, while they're working, and, I mean, while they're off, while they're ill. But I have seen a lot of deaths also, and it's been, you know, tragic that it's hit our community so, so badly.
Estamos llegando al final del programa. ¿Hay algo que quisieras compartir con nuestro radio escucha antes de despedirnos?
Just that, when you're trying to help people again, don't forget that, you know, the people that you want to help, and that will keep your passion going. And then, you know, it's like, and then if your time, for me, I feel like nobody can stop me, only God can stop me. And if he wants me to stop, he's going to make me lose interest. But so far, I haven't lost interest. And so, but I think one of the most, I guess, the most wonderful thing that happens to me is when somebody stops me on the street and they say, I know who you are. You saved my life. And that is just the best thing that I could ever hear.
Wow. Quiero darte las gracias, no nada más por estar en el programa, eso es mínimo, pero honestamente por todo el trabajo que has hecho y por continuar con la lucha. Si una persona está interesada en encontrar información de las organizaciones que representas, ¿a dónde pueden ir?
Pues que llamen a, por 211 es un, they speak different languages. That's one of, you know, one of the major numbers. But another one for domestic violence is 1-800. Oh my gosh, now I forgot. Okay, well, you can call 799-SAFE. SAFE, and they will be able to get you to, you know, to someone who can help you. Here in the state of Utah, it's 800-897-LINK, L-E-N-K, okay? And so those are places where you can call to get resources and to get help. And of course, if you're in danger, if you're in immediate danger, please call 911. Please, please call 911, because that's one of the things that, you know, that especially in an immigrant community, they're afraid to call because they're afraid that they're going to be deported. And I work for the police departments, and if you need help, the best thing they want to do is they want to help you.
Brandi Farmer es especialista en prevención de violencia doméstica y presidente de la Junta Directiva en Comunidades Unidas y el Centro Cívico Mexicano. Muchísimas gracias por estar con nosotros esta noche.
Thank you. Mucho gusto.